She does not get on stage. She doesn't like that, but I do want to recognize her because she is the anchor of our family, and without her, I don't know what we would do. It would be crazy. So very thankful for you, Pastor Melissa. Very thankful. So it is week 4 of the family circus. So just a little bit of recap. Let's see if we can go back. So first week, Pastor had us training lions, and he taught us about, you know, raising children and what that looks like. And then I came in the next week, and we walked the tightrope of honor with family and showing honor to your parents, even as an older child, and teaching your kids what honor looks like. And then last week, Pastor came back with a message on marriage and swinging on the marriage trapeze and what that looks like. So today, we are going to be doing some juggling. We're going to talk about the juggling act and managing your family priorities. So we're going to have some fun in just a few minutes, but let's do a little bit of setup first. So families these days are just super busy, and I don't know if it's this way all across the world or if it's just because we're Americans and Americans just like to jam pack their schedules, but our family is incredibly busy, and every other family that we're associated with is busy. We have to juggle our work schedules, our kids' schedules, not even talking about the time when they're at school, but just their activities after school, their games, and then their weekend meets and sports. And through all that, we still have to juggle and find time with our spouse. You know, you have to carve out a few minutes for them. And, you know, you have to try to catch a meal with your kid, preferably at a table, you know, so you're not on the run eating in the car on the way home. Most mornings for all of us start off in a frenzy, and they don't stop until late in the evening. Our students are just as busy. It's not just an adult thing. It's our students, too. Even just looking at my kids' schedule, it's almost enough to just, you know, flip out and just have so much anxiety over. You wake up as students, you wake up first thing in the morning, and you have to be at school early, and then you school most of the day, and then you get home and you still have homework and you have projects and you have sports practice, and then your weekends, no one watches Saturday morning cartoons anymore because we're on the soccer field or we're at football or softball practice. It's just crazy. It feels like there's always a standardized test to study for or on the horizon. We certainly don't make it easy on our kids. Science fair projects, Lord have mercy, are straight from the enemy. I feel like the devil just plants those things in our life just to test us and to make us mad. We're in our third year of science fair projects with our son, and wouldn't you know, our daughter became a middle schooler this year. And she's got a science fair project, so now we're doing 3, and it's taken us 2 months to do this science fair project. It's just straight from the enemy, is what it is. But our kids are so busy, and we are busy. It's like someone took our daily schedule and threw a week's worth of activity into it. You know, growing up, you saw movies or TV shows where families would get up in the morning and everybody would be well-dressed, no one was fighting, everybody would come join around the table, and mom had just cooked a homemade, from-scratch breakfast, and there's no, we do things like that on, like, holidays, and, home-cooked meal. We're not talking about Eggos. A home-cooked breakfast takes time. That lady got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to cook this breakfast. But you see it where she's made this breakfast and everybody's sitting down around the table. And dad walks in from outside and he's freshly showered and dressed. And he's already completed a major task for the day. He's already mowed the lawn, or he's, you know, changed the tire or washed the car, and he comes in and everybody's chipper and they sit down and they have breakfast. I've always wondered, where do these people live? Because it's not that way in my town. And I've always wondered, what does this guy do for a living that he can do all this before work? It's just simply not like that. Our life, the kitchen's household, is crazy town in the mornings. Let me just tell you, it's insane. You guys want to talk about a circus? It's a circus at the kitchen's house in the morning on a school morning. Let me tell you. So we're pretty efficient people. We kind of got it set out and calculated out exactly how much time it takes. How much time we have to have in the morning to get dressed and get food and that Eggo waffle, pre-cooked bacon, you pop in the microwave for 5 seconds. We've got it programmed out that we have to get up by this time and we have to get out of the house by 7 a.m. 7 a.m. is our drop-dead time, because that gives me enough time to get through the four-ways, through Porterdale. It gives us enough time to get through all the traffic that we're going to face and still get the kids to school on time so they can go to their locker, so they can do their morning work. That's another thing. Why do you do morning work before school? Isn't that what school's for, to do work? Why do you have morning work? So anyway, 7 a.m. is our time where we have to get out of the house. Well, guess what? Just this past week, it's 7:05, and I got a kid running around with no pants on yet. I don't know where their pants were. I don't know if she left them in the dryer. Oh, I said she, so sorry. I don't know if she had left them in the dryer or if they were in her brother's room. But it's 7:05, Ava. Where are your pants? And then another kid's running around. He can't find his shoes. They're either outside in the front yard, in the backyard. They're on the trampoline. Why did you take your shoes off outside? They're your school shoes. So it's 7:05, and we're rushing, and we're getting out of the house, and no one has their pre-cut bacon yet. So we're running out, a fistful of bacon, get in the car, speed down the road, and I don't see him again until late in the evening. It's after a match, after a soccer game. Troop is 30 minutes past bedtime. He still needs a shower. It's crazy. He's crying. He hasn't got to watch TV yet, but you're 30 minutes past bedtime. So we start and we end our days in such a frantic rush. And you guys probably are the same way. Somewhere in the middle there, we've done work. We've worked our jobs. We've taken our kids to their sports. We probably grabbed drive-through for dinner on the way home and ate fries, so you've got half of a Happy Meal in the back seat. It's crazy. So just this week, in preparation for teaching this lesson to you guys today, I costed out what my week looks like. So I took all of my time and all of my commitments and things that I know that I'm going to do, and I costed it all out to see exactly how much time I spend. So we all have 7 days a week, right? 24 hours in that day. So that equals 168 hours per week that we have, okay? 168 hours. So I put in how much time I work. I've told you guys that I have, you know, a regular job, a corporate job, and then we own a business and doing more things with other businesses. So I put that time in there. I made sure to put in my sleep, because sleep is so important to me. Not as important as it is to my wife, because she's a sleep Nazi is what she is. She just wants her sleep. But I put in 8 hours a night for sleep, and then I did time for homework and time for family time and eating, whatever that looks like. And I even put in time for our commute in and out of town every day, homework, sports. I even put in my time that I allocate for church. And after I did all that and added it up, my time on an average basis is 150 hours of my 168. So that means on average per day, I have about 2.5 hours unallocated for. Which means I'm sure that 2 hours is going to get taken by something else. That's why when I sit down at the end of the night, it's 9:45 and I say, "Hey, Melissa, how are you today? How was your day?" Or I check Facebook and make sure no one's posted something crazy on my wall. But I have 2.5 hours unallocated for a week. Some of you may be looking at that and saying, "Yep, that's about right. That sounds about right." Or you may be thinking, "What's this guy doing? He's crazy." But bottom line is, we are all just super crazy busy. It's like we've got way more things to do than we've got time to do it. And watching, if you were to watch someone in their daily routine, it almost resembles a juggler in a circus. Just constantly struggling and juggling and shifting and making sure that none of the balls that we have to juggle fall to the ground. We do make a habit, because we're human, of just picking up everything we've got in the morning and just start tossing and throwing it, right? Just jump in and tackle it. But there's a better way. There is a better way. It is the family circus, right? So let's real quick, let's take a few minutes and have just a little bit of fun. I need a couple volunteers. Chris, you just covered your face, buddy. You're a volunteer. Come up and see me. Come up and see me. Chris, let's see. Melissa, let's do you. Come on. You never come up here. You're such a great multitasker. Come on up. We need your help. And then I need a student. I need a student. You want to help me, bud? All right, you come on up. I'll use your help. And then one more. Let's see. Maybe we'll use, where's Tommy? Is Tommy around? There's Tommy. Okay, we'll use Tommy too. We'll use Tommy last. All right. So the only thing I could find for us to do, you guys got to come on the stage. Because when you drop these balls, it's going to make a thump and it's going to just have lots of effect. So we'll start with Chris. Y'all, Chris is my right-hand man with the student ministry. I'm so thankful for this guy. He works so diligently behind the scenes. He's like a big kid himself. The students love him. His mom said amen. I'm so thankful for him. This student ministry wouldn't be what it is without him or his sister, who's not here this morning, but Yana leads Girl Code, and I'm so thankful for Chris and Yana Lewis. So you guys give them a hand real quick. Because he's about to drop a bunch of balls. So Chris, have you ever juggled in your life, sir?
No.
All right, give it a shot. I will tell you that you throw up. The point of juggling is to juggle more objects than you have hands. But you have to start. I'll give you a hint. You start with the hand that has the two balls. You throw one up, and then you throw the next up. So everybody, let's see him. You might want to step back because he might hit you. All right, let's see what you got, bud. All right. I'll take that. Good job, Chris. You maybe made it 3 seconds. You want to go? Tell me, what's your name, bud?
Derek.
Here. You got to do 3-2. I got to make you do 3-2. It's the whole effect of it. Thank you, sir. You can go down. Thank you, Chris. What you got? Bud, you only got one in the air. Try it again. One more time. All right. See, it's hard, y'all. It's hard to juggle. Melissa, what you got, Miss Multitasker? That was not very good. You're good at everything. How can't you be good at this? All right, let's see. All right, Tommy, what you got, man? Let's start you back here. Can you do this? Let's see. What you got? All right. Oh. Good job, Tommy. I always knew you belonged in a circus. Thank you, volunteers. I give it to you, Tom. That was pretty good. All right, so today we are going to talk about how to be a good juggler, how to manage your priorities, how to manage your family priorities. So I got 4 points for you today. First point, you have to set your mind right. You have to set your mind right. So to be a good juggler, first things first. Before you even start trying to juggle, you got to set your mind right. You can't wake up in the morning before you even crawl out of bed or after you crawl out of bed and look at your basket of tasks that you've got to do and everything that you're responsible for. You can't look in there and already psych yourself out. You can't do that. It's overwhelming to think about everything you're responsible for and all that you have to do. Sometimes we lose the battle before we even start because we make it up in our minds that we can't do something. Or we let the thoughts of fear or anything like that jump in our brains before it's even time to pick up the first ball. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the generous salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Prepare your mind for action. So when you wake up in the morning, you got to have a game plan, but it's got to be God's game plan. I'm going to be real with you real quick. Satan loves nothing more, and his greatest, most common trick is to plant things in your mind, to fill your mind with fear, to tell you you can't do something. It's his oldest trick in the book, is to mess with your mind, because he knows if he can get in your mind and mess up what you've got going on in there, if he messes it up, he's going to win. But I'm here to tell you that you've got to have a game plan. You've got to have your mind right. And a lot of times how that works for me is when fear or if I get overwhelmed with something that's going on in our life, if I feel stress, I start quoting scripture that's truth, that I know that is right. I'll quote 2 Timothy 1:7. For God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I can't tell you how often I quote that to myself. I probably look really funny sometimes at work if I'm stressed out and I'm sitting there and I'm talking to myself. I'm quoting scripture to myself because I know that if I get my mind right, then I can move forward. But if my mind's not right, I'm doomed. See, there's a battle before the battle even takes place. You win a battle in your brain, in your mind, and in the spirit before you even think about winning the battle that you have to face physically. You have to get your mind right. It's almost like we all need just spiritual hype music. You guys know what hype music is? So last year, Cruz played football. He took a break this year, but driving him to his game, man, football is one of those things that if you show up and you're not prepared, it affects your game. You're hitting these boys sometimes that are bigger than you, and Cruz is a little guy like me. So you got to get your mind right. So we would be driving on the way to the game, and I'd be like, Cruz, let's listen to some hype music. So I'd be scanning through the dial trying to find something. It'd be a country love song. Like, no, that's not going to work. I remember last year, I finally came across a good hype song. I'm mostly listening to Christian music, but this was AC/DC Back to Black. It's dun, dun 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 dun. Cruz just sat in the back, just Oh, yeah. He was getting his mind right. He was preparing for the game that he had ahead, and he showed up ready for battle. So we have to spiritually prepare ourselves for battle. You need a spiritual hype song. You need spiritual hype verses like that one I just quoted. So when you feel stressed out, you've got lots going on, you go back and you set your mind right. Point number two, the first toss is the most important one of all. If you've got all your balls and you're about to start juggling, the very first one you throw up is the most important one at all. Matthew 6, let's start with verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek first the kingdom, and above else, live righteously or live rightly or live right, and he will give you everything you need. If that verse doesn't encourage you in your multitasking, I don't know what will. When we take Jesus and we allow him to be the first ball that we toss in the morning, it sets us up for success. When we put our priorities straight, God has this way of making sure that every other important thing in our life falls in place when we put him first. So verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. See, God created us. He knows everything about us. And he knows that we get overwhelmed easily. He knows we're not good at doing lots of things at one time. And he made us that way so that we constantly go back to him as our source. You see, what we like to do a lot of time is we like to, even if we say, okay, I'm going to say a prayer in the morning, we like to spend our entire day, get past lunch, without giving a second thought to Jesus. And then we make a big mess of something, and that's when we want to run back to him and say, God, I made a mess, fix it. But how it's designed and what we should be doing is every aspect of our life going to him and plugging into him. God, what's my next step? What's the next thing that you have for me to do? That's what, and that's how we were designed to be. Look at the children in the wilderness with their manna. God gave it to them every morning. He didn't give them a week's supply or a year's supply. He gave it to them daily as they needed it. Could you imagine what it would look like if God had given them everything they needed at once? They would have been lost in the wilderness for 100 years, not 40. We're designed so that we go to him in small doses. His mercies are new every morning. Small patches of his goodness is what we need. It's almost like a bread trail down a path is the way we should walk with Jesus. We were created to run to him for everything. For everything. And that's the rub a little bit here, is that when we don't run to him for everything, or we spend our lives where, God, I want you in my marriage and I want you in my family, but I don't want you over here. I don't want you to see this thing that I'm dealing with. I don't want you in my gossip. I don't want you when I'm on the computer. See, we should go to him for everything, but everything we do should be God-filled. Deuteronomy 8, verses 3 says, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, but live rather by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I want to live my life in a manner that every decision I make, I've gone to him and I've inquired him before I make the decision. And when we do that, when we make sure that he's the first ball that we toss in the air when we start juggling, it sets our path right. It says in the word that your, or it says in the Bible that your word is a lamp unto my path. It doesn't say your word is a spotlight or a searchlight. God has this way because he designed us this way of giving us just what we need to see at a time. Do you ever look back over your life and you look back at where God's brought you from and you think, man, if you had showed me where I'd be now versus then, I would have been too scared to do it, or I wouldn't have had the faith to do it. Lots of things that Melissa and I have done in our life, even, you know, building businesses a couple years ago. If you had shown me the outcome first, I probably would have ran and hid out of fear, because that's our natural tendency. We're not built to see big pictures at a time. So when we're juggling our task, we have to put God first. Point number three, we have to juggle in order. There's an order when we're juggling. You know, everybody in here, your list of priorities and what your week looks like is completely different than mine, possibly. Everybody in here has a different path that we walk through the week, but I guarantee you, our walk should look the same. And what I mean by that is we all should have very similar priorities. So work is a priority. Your wife or your husband is a priority. Your children is a priority. Jesus should be a priority. Your hobbies are a priority. And when we juggle in the correct order, we create the opportunity for God to provide his provision in our crazy, hectic lives. God knows what we need on a daily basis to make it through. Here's a little bit more rub. If we don't have what we need, if we're struggling, if you feel like every day and every week's a battle to get through and you crawl across the finish line, you might not have your priorities right. That's tough words, but it's true. When our priorities are right, it allows God to use us as he's created. And then in turn, we have what we need from him. A Christian life is dependent on God for everything. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave in the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Guys, I've got too much that I'm juggling to be unstable. I need wisdom, and that wisdom only comes from the Lord when we seek him to show us the order of how we should juggle. When we lack God's provision in our life, it's because our priorities are misaligned. You see, it's easy for us as natural beings, it's easy for us to get our priorities out of focus or out of sync and out of line. It's easy for us to focus on the wrong things and the wrong priorities. How many times have, and I'm guilty of this, and my friends are guilty of this, how many times have we placed more emphasis on our jobs for a long period of time and our families were neglected? How many times have you seen a couple raise their children for 18 years, putting all the attention on their children, and then they leave the house and there's nothing left because they never made each other a priority? Or how many times have you seen somebody lose their job because they're putting too much attention elsewhere, even on their families and their spouses? It's a juggling act. I'm not telling you that that one thing outweighs another thing. It's all important. We got to pay attention to all of it. But when we seek Christ, He shows us the order that we should juggle. Some days, He'll tell us, you need to focus on your spouse today. They're struggling. They need your support. Sometimes, the Lord will tell you, you need to focus on this kid. He needs you. Sometimes He'll say, you know what, the next several days you've got to focus on your job, but it's up to us to seek Him and let Him be a part of every aspect of our life. If we're only letting Jesus look into our lives on a Sunday morning for 60 minutes, He can't fix it. He's got to be a part every single day, every single moment. I believe when we seek Him, He'll tell us when we're spending too much time on one thing. When we seek Him, He'll say, Brian, you're juggling balls you have no business juggling. Put those down. You've got too much other things to worry about. See, God's not a deity that just sits in heaven and just waits. Through His Holy Spirit, He's done this really cool thing where each one of us has 100% of Him. So He's mine. He's my advisor. He's my life advisor, but He's your life advisor too. We just have to let Him be a part. And when we do that, watch what happens in your life. Watch what happens to your schedule. You will miraculously be able to do more things when you follow His leading, with Him telling you which order to take. Point number four. Keep your focus centered. So here is a juggling trick. So I've spent all week, how do I be a good juggler? I'm a little bit better than Tommy. I just didn't show you guys. That's a joke. I'm probably a little worse than Chris was. But when you juggle, if we spend our time focusing on, if we throw the first object in the air and we focus on that and we're chasing it going around and we're not watching the others, we're going to drop everything. Where your focus has to be when you're juggling is in the center. Your focus has to be on the center. You can't watch all the activity around. It's got to be on the center. Guys, who's the center? Who's the center? I'm going to read to you guys Philippians 3, verse 15 out of the Message today. So let's keep focus on that goal. Those of us who want everything that God has for us, everything that God has for us. Do you want everything that God has for you today? Let's keep our focus on that goal. Those of us who want everything. So He's talking to us. If you just said, I want everything, He's talking to you. If any of you have something in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. You can't juggle your priorities with a blurred vision. Jesus has to be the center of it all. When I wrote this, Israel Houghton immediately jumped in my head. You guys know the song, Jesus at the Center of It All? I'm not going to sing it for you. My mouth's dry. I'll mess up. So don't let things that help God stay at the center slip away. I'm going to talk real talk with you for a minute. This is Pastor Brian talking to you. It's not Pastor Daryl, so don't get mad at him for the next few sentences I'm going to say. When we're busy, when we've got a lot going on, the first thing to go is always church. It's easy to spend your entire day and not thinking about God or asking Him for direction, and then our only thoughts of God is three bites into a pizza. Oh, I forgot to pray. I do that all the time. That's me. We always pray with mouthfuls of food because, you know, that's just how it is sometimes. But it's easy to let the most important things slip away when we're busy. And it feels counterintuitive sometimes to say, well, you told me to lean my schedule or you told me to get my priorities right. But our culture these days is to not show up at church but once a month, or to say after a busy week of work and ball that I'm just taking Sunday to rest. It's easy to say that and let the things that should matter slip away, but I'm telling you that when we make God a priority in our life and we show up at church, it shows Him we're serious about Him being in charge of our life. And not only that, church shouldn't be the only time that we're hearing the Word. I told you guys earlier about the whole the AC/DC song, but majority of the time I'm spending my day at work, you know, prepping for a meeting, and I've got praise music in my ear. If I'm stressed out about something, I told you guys I left a really stressful job a couple months back, but I was really listening to praise music for the last 5 years. Man, it kept my sanity. But before a meeting or before, I've always done this. Maybe that's why God gave me a really good wife, because and a good family. Before I got married and we had decisions about, am I going to pursue Melissa and or go different routes, I've always met every major obstacle in my life with just seeking out God, whatever that looks like. Sometimes I'll go, if there's something stressful, I'll just go in a room by myself and I'll worship just me and God and whoever's on the radio. Sometimes I'll just go sit in my car, I'll pull my Bible app out and I'll just read scripture. I'll pray before a major decision. Lord, should I eat spaghetti today or should I eat? Just kidding. Not stuff like that, but I'm serious. When we make God a priority in our life, I spend my week not only listening, or I listen to Pastor Daryl on Sundays, or if I miss a Sunday being out with middle school, I always go back and I listen to him on the podcast. But I spend my weeks with specific influencers in my life. I've got like a handful of pastors that I always I listen to, and I go and I listen to them through the week. Guys, because that's what we're supposed to do. It's a lamp into our feet. When we're juggling, I need God a part of it all. And if I'm only making Him a part of a piece of it, then we're going to get in trouble and we're going to drop some things. It's critical that we put our priorities right. Do not believe the lie that church is not important. Don't believe that for a second. And it's also important for you. Plug in this place. Be here faithfully. And not only be here, jump in and get involved. There's so many different places that you guys could get involved. You can get involved with kids ministry. If you're interested, you could jump in the student ministry. It takes zero effort for you to hold a door open. But when we do things like that in our life, it's us showing God we're serious about Him being our focus. So no matter how many things you have juggling, keep Jesus at the center. So in closing, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? It sounds like scripture. It sounds like I'm sitting in my car listening to my kids in the back seat. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. How awesome is that? That individually, guys, He knows what we need. We do a really bad job of trying to figure out what we need. And we're juggling things all the time. Probably lots of things we have no business touching. But He knows everything. And when we plug into Him, He aligns all our priorities. He takes things out that shouldn't be there. He puts things in that should be there. Life is crazy. Our task and priorities, they can overwhelm you, man. We can get to the point where things just seem so overwhelming. But I want to encourage you today, if you're overwhelmed, it's God. Seek Him. Make this week the first time that you say, okay, God, I'm going to pursue You. Yeah, Brian told me to listen to worship music. I've even heard, this is crazy to me, guys. I've even heard pastors tell me in conversations, I don't listen to worship music. It's crazy to walk out these doors every day and go and live your life that doesn't include Him at the center. It's crazy that we would even think about doing that because He knows everything we need. He's already got it set up. So you say, well, how do I do that, Brian? How do I do that, Pastor Brian? How do I look at my priorities? You ask God to help you set your priorities. It's a complicated question, but a simple answer. You ask God, God, I'm stressed out. I'm dropping all these balls. Show me how I should juggle. Show me what I should be doing. And I believe that He does that when we seek Him. Real quick, Exodus 18, verse 13, starting at verse 13. Talking about Moses. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. He's dealing with these crazy people again out in the wilderness. They waited before him from morning till evening. So Moses is working from morning till evening. His father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, and he said, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all of this alone while everyone else stands around you from morning till evening?" And Moses says, "Because the people come to me to get a ruling. It's because I'm working. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them instruction." And then his father-in-law says, "It's not good, Moses. You're going to wear yourself out. And the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself." Moses had to be told, get your priorities in order. So if Moses had to be told, I would love to hear God like Moses heard God. If Moses had to be told, get your priorities right, maybe we should hear too. I'm sure Moses' wife was aggravated. Sure, his kids were mad, spending all his time at work. We have to align our priorities properly and place God at the center. His influence needs to be on every single task that we do. It's not okay for one burden or one priority to overburden another. But yet somehow we've got to give everything 100%. Our family, our wife, our jobs, it all requires 100%. And that makes no sense mathematically. But with God, it happens. God is the key. When we lead a Spirit-filled life, God aligns it all. And He keeps all the balls in play. So we need to pray for wisdom. Lord, show us. Show us how we should live our life. Show us the order, God. Fix what I've made a mess of. If you guys would stand as we close. You know, as I researched juggling this week, I probably know more about juggling and not actually a juggler than anybody. When you think about juggling, you think everything flows in a circular motion, right? You're passing it and it just keeps going like this. That's not actually the case. So when you juggle in this path here. If Diane, if you would put the picture up. Does anybody know what this is? The infinity symbol. When we juggle, we're passing things in this motion. And the infinity symbol, it's a mathematical symbol. Now, it's the concept of infinity is a concept. It's a theory. It's a true theory. But this symbol was actually created and drawn out by a man of God. He's a priest. But it's a mathematical symbol that represents the concept of infinity. And infinity, something infinite, means that it's endless. I asked you guys earlier, who's at the center? We said Jesus. But who's the one who is infinite? Who's the one who goes on and on and on? It's God. It's Jesus. Psalm 48:14 says, for that what God is like, He is our God forever and ever and ever. And He will guide us until we die. So when we're juggling in an infinite path, it's God. He's infinite. It's got to be about Him. We have the ability to place all our basket of priorities. Everything that we go through, we have the ability to place it in the hands of the one who is infinite. He in turn, when we do that, He in turn has the power to move and take control of everything, causing provision to come into our lives and take our chaotic lives and help us juggle it all. So everyone's heard, this is the last thing I'm going to say real quick, everything's heard of the Proverbs 31 woman, right? She's gotten real popular over the last couple of years. So Proverbs 31 is talking about the virtuous woman, and it talks about what she looks like, and it talks about her kids and just how wonderful she is. And every Mother's Day, I like to go to that scripture and steal some verses and write them in Melissa's car to make me look super spiritual. So guys, there's a hint for you. But everybody knows who the Proverbs 31 woman is. Well, does anybody know who the Psalms 128 man is? See, nobody knows him. Nobody knows this guy, but I believe that he is the reflection of somebody who's juggling a whole bunch of stuff and he's getting it right. He's getting it right. So let's read it together real quick. Psalm 128. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, for all who follow his ways. So this guy's putting God first. This guy's putting God first. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. He's got his act together with his job. He enjoys his job and it's fruitful. And he's got joy in his job. Who wants joy in your job? Verse 3, your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine. Lord, have mercy. I don't ever want to call Melissa a grapevine. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. God cares about marriage. We are to have whole, healthy, prospering marriages. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. I want good, whole, healthy relationships with my kids. That is the Lord's blessings for those who fear Him. May the Lord continuously bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Guys, when we live our lives putting God in control of our priorities, it all flourishes. We don't have to pick one or the other. We can live a life, a blessed life, where God infiltrates everything. And He can do it, and that's what He wants for each and every one of us. That's exactly what Psalms 128 is talking about, a guy who just is blessed in every aspect. He knows how to juggle. If you would today, if you need prayer, our prayer team will come up.